have a feeling me and my insurance company are not going to be best friends by 2019. I help out mom a lot of times when she's running behind or things like that. That's one of the perks of living close for her anyway. And I'm just kidding, for me too. But is that when you live close, when you co-parenting and you live close, you're able to come in and help out. Like today, I went to the clinic with mom just because my daughter has strep throat. And then yesterday, mom was running late and asked me for a favor to see if I could take the little one to school. I was like, no problem. I'll go ahead and do that, right? It was one of those things where I had a Christmas party and I went ahead and needed the day off. So mom was nice enough to give me the day off. But she said, hey, can you pick up my daughter and go to school? I'm like, no problem. I'll go ahead and do that. As I pick her up, in the community, there's always ground crew people working around there and things like that. And I'm like, okay, great. So I can't get in the driveway to pick her up. I have to park outside on the road behind the truck of the mulching folks, right? And I go in, you know, it's not even 10 minutes. My daughter's ready to go. We leave, we're out. I mean, not even 10 minutes. I would say 5 minutes because I was just outside the door and mom was just putting the jacket on her. So I was like, okay, cool. No problem. And as we go ahead and get out of there, you know, the car that I had to park out on the road and behind the truck, I go ahead and start pulling out. I run over a cone. I'm like, ah, fuck. Run over a cone. Yeah, and I just went ahead and talked to the guy, gave me the information to call, filled out a report. You know how it is, man, when you're, and of course, you fill out a report, you send it in to the company, and they have all this paperwork, and then the guy calls me back and says, hey, man, we're not taking culpability for this one. Like, all right, I guess we got to go through the insurance and subrogation, whatever that's called. That's the life. But, you know, it's the inconvenience of it. It's not, it's like when someone takes your wallet. It's not the inconvenience of losing it or the money per se. It's just getting everything back. It's such a hassle. So getting your credit cards back, getting your ID back, all that stuff just takes time to come through. So when you have something like this where, all right, I have to submit another claim because I had a hit and run in the parking lot probably about a month ago. A hit and run. And I was like, all right, well, I mean, it is what it is. And I got to take it back to the collision place. And, you know, obviously that's just money out of their pocket. So, yeah, that's the life, man. It's the life, man. It's the life of an insurance company, you know. They just... Like I said, they're gonna fire me. They're gonna be like, we don't wanna insure you anymore. All right. Whatever works. But that's the life, man. You know, when you have, and I don't really sit there and complain about it. It wasn't like I was telling my mom, you know what, I came to pick up my daughter. And because of you, I gotta go through all this shit. You know, I don't do that. It's like whatever. You know, some people really start venting and complaining about stuff, about everything. And I just can't do that. It's just not me. It's like, oh, whatever. Yeah, I'll deal with it. Because what good is it going to do for me to complain about something like that? It's not. It's not going to help me at all one bit. But, yeah, that's just part of the co-parenting world. You deal with these adventures. And, you know, and like I said, that's a good thing why I dumped a lot of the selfish people in my life. Because, you know, you're still dealing with shit like this. So imagine on top of dealing with the selfish people and their needs, then dealing with stuff like this. You know, you got to be a rock sometimes. And for everybody, a little bit too much. But yeah, one of the things that I caught my eye today was a video I was watching about parenting. And it was this guy that did a study and he wrote a book about it. And he talked about how parenting basically after 1995 has changed quite a bit. And one of the examples he was given about was how kids, parents, I should say, or grown-ups, they were being asked, okay, my generation, which is X, people that were, you know, when was the age you started going out without supervision? And I remember very clearly for me, it was 5, 6. I would walk to school at 5 years old. You know, every day I go walk to school. No one walked with me. No one took me to school. It was like, you know, you kind of dealt with friends. You just went down the street. No one cared about where you were. Now in 2018, it's a whole different story. We're all helicopter parents. I know for myself, you know, I take my daughter to school. I drive her to school. I pick her off from school. There's not a moment where she's by herself outside of school, right? It's like we're parent supervision all the time. And it's gone to a bit extreme, in my opinion, especially, you know, because I know mom sometimes, and God bless her heart. I mean, I totally get it. The news, though, it's a business that's derived on fear. And I guess there's been news here in the area where kids have been abducted from their parents. And therefore, my daughter, when she's around me in public, mom has instructed her to hold daddy's hand because God knows somebody can come in here and take you away. All right. You know, I get it. I get the safety. And my daughter was just holding on to me inside the store. Inside the store, she was holding on to my hand, like clinging onto it. And my daughter never does that. And I was like, look, Jazz, this is not you. Okay. I have no problem being affectionate with you and holding you. But you're doing it because you're having this fear instilled in you. And I had to tell her, look at me. I mean, you think anybody's going to come at me? Everyone thinks I'm the bad guy. You think they, you know, the way I look anyway, they're not going to go ahead and they're not going to abduct you. I'll go ahead and run them down. There's no way. No one will be that smart or that dumb to come at me with my daughter. It's not going to happen, right? But that's the unfortunate thing. And that author was talking about in that video excerpt that that's the society that we live in, that we don't give our kids enough independence growing up. Thus, that's why they struggle when they get older. That's why you have people that whenever there's a problem at work, they run to HR and they complain because that's what you're taught to do. And I see that because I know in school, when it comes to the bullying part, I tell my daughter all the time, if someone hits you, you hit them back. If they say something mean to you, you say something back. And she's telling me, no, the teachers are not telling us to do that. And so what do you do as a parent? I'm like, because I think that's the way they attack it. How does a bully stop bullying you? But you're punching them in the face. Whether you win or lose, it's another story, but they're not going to keep picking on you, knowing that there's going to be a fight. You know, they pick on the people that are not going to fight back. Same thing with people that are bullying you with words and things they say. If you talk back to them and make fun of them, like they want to call you fat or they want to call you a certain way, you make fun of them right back, they'll stop. People will stop. Because again, I always go back to grown-ups are bullies too. Like they could be very condescending. I mean, I went to the store in Target. And, you know, the store, you know, it just opened right away. And I went to get just a couple items for my daughter. And I go to the line and the light is on. And I look at the guy. I'm like, he wasn't dressed in proper store apparel. Very casual. He looked like he was just doing inventory. And I was like, hey, is this line open? It's like, well, and he just pointed at the light. I'm like, I understand the light is on. But sometimes you go to stores and that doesn't mean that line is open. And he goes, you know, you're right. I'm just giving you a hard time. And people get off on that. But people all the time, it's like they assume that you know everything. Like, you know what they know. And it's like, no, we have to ask the dumb questions. I'm all about asking the dumb questions, especially a guy like me. I have to ask them. I don't want to assume anything. I always go back to, I don't assume nothing. So, you know, you go into a world where people are always constantly trying to bully you. Even as you get older, they're trying to bully you, where trying to feel good about themselves. They're trying to talk back to whatever it is for their self-esteem issues. And that happens as kids. So I get it. I tell my daughter, fight back. They say something stupid. I'll be like, what does that girl say? Well, you say it back. You say, this is what you want to say about her. I'll be coaching her. And you can call that bad parenting or not. But the emphasis in my communication with my daughter is when someone tries to pick on you, you pick on them back. You let them know I'm not the one. I don't care if they have three people with them. I don't care. You take a whoop and it's all good. Like, you're going to live. You're going to live to fight another day. and I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating to be aggressive. I come from the mindset is don't start anything, but you're going to finish it, because people don't understand it. Those kids come from environments where the parents are not checking that. And thus it's manifesting itself, or they're not getting attention or whatever it is. And they're coming at my kid and making my kid the punching bag. And I'm like, no, that's not how it's going to happen. But kids nowadays are snitching on each other. And the guy, the author, was just saying that that's what happens now in adult life, is that we're so accustomed now, especially the people that are under 40, that when they've been babied all their lives up to their teens, as far as not being able to go anywhere without supervision, that's how they're ingrained. And it's sad, because you read through the comments of that video And many people are just talking about that reality. Like, yeah, this impacts me because of the reality that I just feel it was instilled in me from a young age, a fear of I can get killed, I can get abducted, I can get raped. And then other people were saying, well, you know, I am that way because I was molested. You know, my parents were not being helicopter parents, and it caused me to be molested by my neighbors, you know, my friend's dad or something like that, where these horror stories come out. So these kids that grow up, they say, you know, I don't want that to be repeated. So hence, they're just pulling out all the stops. No problem. I get that. But do you think that's the general experience, or do you think that's an exception to the rule, right? Do you think that all kids that are unsupervised get molested? Do you think all kids that are unsupervised? And I go back to the different cultures, right, or the different socioeconomic backgrounds. It's one thing when you're living, and I'm able to compare and contrast because I grew up poor, and now I'm in middle class, as you say, right? And when you're growing up poor, there's so many kids running around without parental supervision. And now here in middle class and upper middle class, you're always having that monitor. People are always watching what you're doing. You may have some lock key, you know, meaning some kids that the parents are always working. But, you know, generally speaking, you always have a parent all around all the time. So I feel part of it is I think it's still the independence is more prevalent in the poverty sector as far as the kids, but thus you have more problems of them dealing with molestation and being abused because you have a very dysfunctional type of environment in those places, you know, where the grownups are not all there. You know what I mean? And I think that's where we have to understand that reality that, okay, you living, and that's what I go back to the experience with my daughter and her panicking about being abducted. It's like, look, we live in a nicer area. We're not in the projects. We're not in the ghetto. Like, we're grown people living in nice areas where there are a lot of, I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not naive to that reality. I think people feel when you discuss it like I do, it's like you're naive to things happening. It's like, no. It's not that I'm not naive. It's that you can't stop living life because of your fear of something happening. Like my dad and I have those conversations before where he'll just have a fear of doing things because of the news. And I'm like, look, the news, it's a business. So you got to be careful with that too. You got to do your own research. And we're able to do that in this day and age. You can't fall, you know, I can't go and say and can't travel because you're female. Well, I mean, do your research. What places can you go? And generally speaking, you know, if you go out during the day, the criminals are not there as an adult woman. But we're instilling these fears in our kids and that when they grow up, they're going to have them. So they're going to just feel like, oh, my God, the world's out to get me. When in reality, it doesn't. I'm not saying that you can't be at the wrong place and wrong time. And you got to prepare for that. But you can't just deprive yourself of living because you have this fear all the time. And you have to be with a partner and all these things, right? I mean, and as a woman, I understand that there's a different layer of you having that fear. But I don't want my child and many other children out there that they have to depend on being with somebody to enjoy a good time or to feel safe. You have to go out there and live life. And by all means, if you want to protect yourself, if you want to go ahead and say, you know what? I need to have a concealed weapons license. Or you know what? I need to learn martial arts. Or I need to learn how to do X, Y, and Z. Do it by all means. You know, whatever makes you feel. But you can't deprive yourself of living. Because I think when you're trying to create, you know, and it's tough because I try to balance both worlds of what I think it's good for her versus doing something better than I had. So in my world, just being attentive, being there all the time and showing her that I care is a good thing, right? Because that's what I wish I had. But then you're also creating this codependency of helping her with her homework or having a tutor and being around her all the time. It's a double-edged sword. And I guess that's something that I have to feel out, and many of us do as parents. That it's a weird thing. And, you know, the sad thing about our society in this day and age is that we don't know each other as neighbors. We don't have that connection as a society. Like, we don't know who our neighbors are. We don't fraternize with them. They don't fraternize with us. we don't make it an effort to hang out or get to know one another, even though we really won't know each other. But the fact that we can't even be cordial and friendly and spend time and knowing that our children are going to interact. I mean, I deal with that as a parent in the school system when it comes to doing things with the kids. They don't talk to me. They talk to mom. Okay. Mommy code is real. And I know it comes back to that fear because, you know, Jazz's mom is no different than many other moms out there. They just have that paranoia. And obviously, they look at the guys like, come on, man. Like, you guys are dumb. Just go work and pay my bills. But it's a reality. It's a sad reality, unfortunately, that we're living in it. And I know for me, it's one of those things that I see it. I see that you're creating a bad habit here of fear and codependency. But at the same time, you're trying to provide a better experience for them and showing them that the parents loved you. So how do you balance both? And I guess that's something that I'll be continuing to figure out as the journey goes along.